Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost. Here we go
now. It's been a crazy NFL season, and we still got 7 weeks left to play. Here to talk about everything in and outside of Seattle, the Ringer's Danny Kelly on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Danny, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. How are you guys?
We are well. We're excited to speak to you. I mean, we have so many questions. I'm going to start in Seattle, I guess. We were just talking with Joel Corey, who is an NFL salary cap expert, about how much it would cost to extend or re-sign Geno. He was projecting a contract around 30-ish to $35 million per year, like somewhere in that range, which is the second source we've heard citing $30-plus million. Would you pay that for Geno at this point?
I mean, I think I would. If I really came down to it, if I had to decide right now, I think I would. I was going to say this feels like an inflection point for the Seahawks, because the way that the rest of the season goes is probably going to have a lot to do with whether or not they re-sign Geno Smith and kind of try and run it back. If they kind of fail, falter down the stretch and things kind of fall apart, like we saw kind of in Germany. I don't know, like that Germany game kind of like finally for the first time, I was like, oh, maybe this isn't the team of destiny after all. But I think depending on what they do down the stretch, it's going to make a big difference whether they decide to bring Geno back or kind of like, stay the course on what would be like a rebuild, go the quarterback in the draft and do all that versus kind of try and like keep winning with Geno and go that direction. I personally would go stick with Geno. I think what he's doing is repeatable. I think obviously he has the respect of the locker room. Great story. Seems to love it here. And so all those reasons, I personally would stick with Geno and I would pay that.
Danny, we've obviously seen Jamal Adams suffer an injury at the beginning, the very first game of the year, and then Ryan Neal comes in, and they're doing a lot of the same things with Ryan Neal that they would want to do with Jamal Adams. What does that mean for Jamal? Is he now trade bait? Are they good with Ryan Neal? Where do you think they should go in that situation?
That is a really good question, because, Ryan Neal, I mean, he's basically forced his way onto the field. You cannot take him off the field at this point. He's just been too good. And then I don't know exactly what that means, honestly, for Jamal Adams. It's kind of crazy. He's just had so many injuries, so many issues over the last couple of years. It's almost like you feel like you kind of want that depth just in case. Like, obviously, I don't think you want to pick one or the other. And to be honest, I don't really know if anyone's going to trade for him at this point, just based on the way the last couple of years have gone. So I guess the easy answer would just be run it back and hope to have that depth and kind of just work him in. Maybe they could play something together on the field at the same time.
Yeah, it feels like the NFC West is San Francisco's to lose at this point, not only because they have the tiebreaker in the head-to-head over Seattle, but they just look so dominant, and they looked fantastic last night. Are there areas where you look at Seattle and you think, I think they can hang with San Francisco here?
I mean, I think the way that the offense is playing, the Seahawks is I think, what gives them an edge. San Francisco is chock full of superstar talent on offense, but really I think a lot comes down to like how Jimmy G plays in any given game. The last couple of games, he's definitely been really, really good. But as we've seen over the last few years, there are times when he becomes a pretty major liability for him. I think the 49ers have a really good defense though, and they're just more complete as a team right now. I think they're just kind of like finding their groove. They look a little bit more balanced. But I mean, honestly, we were thinking the Seahawks looked like the favorite like 2 weeks ago. So I really do think it's kind of like anything could go in the last like several weeks of the season. But, right now it is looking like the 49ers kind of have the edge, kind of have the momentum, and the Seahawks just need to keep pace and, kind of find their groove again after losing to the Buccaneers. I think that was just such a kind of demoralizing loss. For the first time this season, I've like started to have hope that the Seahawks are actually really good. And then that Buccaneers game kind of like, took the rug out a little bit and maybe gave me a little bit more reality check or whatever. But it's going to be very, very interesting to see where they go from here, because if they can like beat the Raiders, beat the Rams, get kind of things going against the Panthers, they can, really get some momentum going into the playoffs too.
Danny, looking at the NFC, you got Philly at the top of this thing, followed by Minnesota, Cowboys, Giants, Niners, Hawks. At the bottom of this thing, you got the Bears, Panthers, Rams, New Orleans. Are there teams that are at the top that you feel like are faking it, and then teams near the bottom who you feel like have the potential to kind of rise? I guess the bottom and the middle. Who are you believing in, and then who are you calling out and saying, like, man, I don't believe that?
I mean, I think Eagles are legit. You know, they're just really balanced. They can do so many different things on offense. You know, even if their passing game isn't working, they can get Jalen Hurts going in the run game. I just think they have so many ways to beat you. The Eagles seem legit to me. The Vikings, in a somewhat similar way to the 49ers, I think the quarterback position can be a real, like, vulnerability for them. And so I would say the Vikings, to me, and if you're talking about fraudulent, the Vikings certainly look like it, especially last week when they lost to the Cowboys so badly. I mean, obviously beating the Bills is a great thing, but coming back and playing like that against the Cowboys really kind of just takes the wind out of their sails. The Giants, you know, obviously, like, to me, this just feels like they've just been like a house of cards all season. They've just managing to win games here and there by, you know, pulling out every trick in the book kind of deal. But they just, to me, don't look real as like a contender in the NFC. And then as for teams that are kind of like, quote unquote, out of it right now, I guess you can't really ever count out the Packers just because they have Aaron Rodgers, and it seems like some of their rookie receivers are starting to kind of come along better. You know, Christian Watson could be a big, big deal for them going down the stretch. The Saints, again, they're just so injured right now, but I think if they get healthy and kind of things come together for them, they could make a run at it. I don't really believe in the Cardinals or Rams at this point. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'd say probably like the Lions, Packers, Saints look to me like the most likely upstart teams that are kind of out of it right now.
We're talking with the Ringer's Danny Kelly about all things NFL. And yes, a lot of them come back to Seattle, where head coach Pete Carroll is a nice candidate for coach of the year, given what he's done with this team. But Danny, there are so many great stories around the league this year. I don't know if it's just me, but I feel like I'm even more fascinated by some of the surprises this year. So who's also catching your eye for some great coaches that are doing wonderful jobs with their squads?
I mean, I think you have to mention Vrabel in Tennessee. Just everything they've been able to do with the lack of talent, I guess. I mean, obviously, they've got talented players, but just the way that their team has come together, the way that he's coached everybody up, like just the incredible performances he's gotten out of that defense. I don't know. He just, to me, seems like a very logical choice as one of the potential coaches of the year. Obviously, Mike McDaniel in Miami has done some incredible things with their offense. I mean, it certainly helps that they have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, but like the offense that they've designed that seems to perfectly fit what Tua can do. You know, I think he's got to be up there too, just because of the way that they've turned that thing around and just really turned it into a juggernaut type offense just seemingly overnight. So to me, those two guys really stand out the most.
Danny, the Seahawks make the playoffs if what?
If Geno keeps doing what he's doing. I think. And I honestly think he can. You know, everything you look at on tape, everything that they do offensively, the way that he runs the offense, like the way that he gets to the line and kind of makes things, you know, changes the play, audibles, gets guys in, you know, in position, all that stuff feels really repeatable to me, which is, again, going back to what I said earlier, I really do think they should re-sign him and kind of keep him in town and keep you know, building on this magic that we seemingly have with him. But, like, you know, everything that he does, you know, his accuracy, his decision making, it does feel repeatable to me. So I think if he can continue what he's doing, and the defense doesn't completely fall apart, which I don't think it will, the Seahawks have a very strong chance of making the playoffs, and I do think they will make the playoffs.
Let's assume, last question here, that the Seahawks are looking at a wild card spot, just for the sake of argument. What are some of the teams that us here in Seattle are looking at in that case?
Looking at playing in the first round?
No, maybe not playing, but just like, what are some other potential wild card teams where if you're in Seattle, you start kind of watching them a little more closely?
Washington, I think. Obviously, they've kind of come out of nowhere lately. Taylor Heineke is probably playing above, I think, what his actual physical potential is right now. Atlanta, against all odds, they just keep finding wins. I don't know. I don't really understand how they keep doing it. It's like actually one of the most annoying storylines for me, just to keep winning despite like the most frustrating like style I can imagine. Obviously, I'm from the fantasy football world, so like the way that they utilize Pitts and Drake London this year has been really frustrating, but they managed to keep winning, so I guess they're doing something right. Obviously, like you I think you want to root against the Giants probably just to get a better place in the playoff rankings. And then, you know, the Lions seem to be kind of like heating up at the right time. So three in a row going into this weekend. So they would be another team to kind of like maybe potentially nipping at Seattle's heels here. But I just think Seattle, if they just take care of their own business, they'll be fine.
All All right, I like it. He is the Ringer's Danny Kelly, kind enough to join us for a quick look around the NFL and a little recap of Seattle's season so far. Danny, thank you so much for taking the time, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Danny.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
All right, this hour of Bump and Stacey is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. We are waiting on Seattle's head coach Pete Carroll for the first check-in in a week on this team. That's coming your way next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacey.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right.
Bump and Stacey bring you the best.
We are waiting to hear from Pete Carroll, who's going to speak to reporters for the first time in a week. So finally, you get an update on this Seahawks team as they prepare to take on the Raiders. And while we wait for the head coach, I may interrupt us. I may throw it a break. Who knows, Bump?
Mm.
Who knows what I might do?
I'm with it.
Okay, great. Let's talk a bit about this matchup ourselves.
All right.
I was going to ask Danny about it. We only had a couple minutes with him, so I didn't. But it feels like the Raiders are a team that I expect to lose and yet always has a chance.
You know why they have a chance?
Because any given Sunday?
Any given Sunday.
Yeah.
And you got Derek Carr, man. My father-in-law is a big Raiders fan, and he's always asking for the Raiders to get rid of Derek Carr. And I'm like, Ramon, don't forget, this man has kept you guys in a lot of games. No, he's not an elitist, but he's up there. So they have weapons. You got Davante Adams, who has a quiet 925 yards receiving this year.
Yes.
Extremely quiet. Quiet 10 touchdowns, too. Like, we don't talk
about
Davante enough.
Well, because the Raiders aren't doing anything with him. Like, he is the only reason they've been in games. He's having a phenomenal season individually.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter because they keep losing.
It doesn't matter, as The Rock would say. But then Josh Jacobs is close to 1,000 yards rushing. Like, they've been quietly performing numbers-wise, but just not getting the W's. So that's why you got to respect this team, man. They got a guy who can run the rock and a guy who can catch that thing as well. I think defensively has been the issue for these guys, right? They're not a top-tier defense. They're near the bottom third when it comes to overall defense. They're not in the top five when it comes to any of the major categories, the sacks, the interceptions, the turnovers. They don't get after the quarterback. As far as sacks, they're dead last when it comes to getting after the quarterback. 13 sacks for these guys. So if you're not getting pressure on the quarterback, you're not going to get a chance. You're not going to have a chance to win the ball game. The Hawks, on the other hand, have 27. So dang near double what the Raiders have. So they have some pieces that make you believe that they should be a good team. But it all comes down to defense, too, man. You can't stop people from scoring. It's going to be rough.
Well, I was going to say, something tells me that as good as I think the Seahawks defense has become, that Raiders fans are looking at it the exact same way we are, saying, I like our offense's chances.
Yeah, I think they do, especially after what they saw in Germany.
Yeah.
A team that was the worst in the league and running the football, went for 161 yards on the ground against
which is 100 more than they were averaging per game.
A hundo more. So you have to assume that the Raiders see that and say, okay, that's how we're going to attack them.
All right, here's Pete.
How much we live in the present and in the moment. You know, last week when I wished you happy Thanksgiving, you know, I didn't know if we'd ever get back together again, you know. So, you know, now that we're here, I guess it's a little more, I guess you could understand it. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody. There's no excuse for that other than to say that. Going back to work feels good to us. These guys are fired up to be back. They feel good. They feel strong. I mean, just in the walkthrough, they're bouncing all over the place. The schedule that we have this week will allow us to be fresh all the way to Sunday. By the way, we're doing it and celebrating the holiday, too. So they're anxious to get back at it. And really test this is like starting the second half. And so feels like that natural break at the bye, and we're going to try to maximize that by coming out and playing a really good game this week. And it's all we got. So focus is right on the Raiders. They had a big win last week. They have a lot of firepower, and I know it's been frustrating for them this season, but they've got all kinds of weapons, and they got stuff that they can do, and we got to be ready. So we're going to try to put together a great Wednesday. On Tuesday, and because we're in that time warp, and then we'll put together a great week, hopefully.
When you go back and you do the self scout over last week, what were you most pleased with on both sides of the ball up to this point?
You talking about the entire time, not just last week's game?
Yes. Yeah. Just kind of that self scout for the season.
Yeah. No, we've made a big turn, you know, and when you take a couple of four games, plus the fifth game, in the last 5-6 weeks, we've really turned our football team in a positive direction.
that doesn't mean anything, you know, because we got to go out and do it again this week. But we can see it on offense. We can see it on defense. It was frustrating to not get a win last week, and you know, to be in position to finish with a huge game too. You know, out there would have been a wonderful, you know, acquiring that opportunity. We didn't do it. But other than that, we're getting better, and we have a lot of room to improve, and we can see it. So it's a very fresh mentality. Excited about getting back. Feeling good and all that, you know, we're trying to take advantage of where we have come to in this last month or so.
When you take a look at the Raiders, Max Crosby is a pretty impressive guy. He leads the league as in tackle for loss. What is it about his skill set that makes him such a dominator?
He's got a great motor. He is a guy that just never stops, and he plays a lot of plays too. He doesn't, you know, he won't sub out. So he's taking full advantage of it. But, man, he is always going, run and pass, action at him, action away. He's just playing great football, and he's making big plays. Even in last week, even in a kicking game, you know, he comes up and blocks a field goal too. So he's just on fire, and he's playing as good as anybody we faced.
How did you assess your running game against Tampa Bay, and then kind of how do you feel, like, I guess, where that is right now?
It was a very short assessment. kind of briefly, we didn't get going, and I mean, there's some stuff I really don't want to comment on, but we didn't do well in the first half, but you know, to really tell you about it, it's if we fail that much on third down, you don't get the chances to develop the game plan, and we didn't get it. We've been in that situation where we've talked like that before. You know, I don't think we converted in the first half. We hadn't won if we had any, and so we never got rolling. And so we the game became a different game for us, you know, different than we generally would play, and but we got to get back to the running game. We got to get it going.
You mentioned the guys out there bouncing around. Is there, after a break, is there any concern, or do you have to do anything different just to make sure you kind of pick back up where you wanted to?
Yesterday we ran the guys and worked them out in preparation for today. You know, and today we talked specifically about, you know, easing our way into the tempo. And so we're taking a little extra time in individual, and the coaches are all aware of it, and the players have been warned a couple times, let's not try to do too much too fast, too soon, and get ready. And we got a good week here that we can ramp it up. But there's always a little bit of concern coming off the week. We asked our guys to be real active over the week and you know, to make sure that they stayed, you know, after. But we still need to be careful today.
Is this the way you did Thanksgiving with the Jets and the Patriots?
God, I don't know.
I don't think you did this in early Seattle. Did you take Thursday off?
No, I think this was something that we figured out along the way, and it helped us this time around, for sure, coming off the break, you know, and all that. This is a really good way to do it, if you can, because for our guys coming off the bye to get another day on Thursday after two good solid days of work, it's really a nice format. So, we haven't always done that, and I don't think we did it back then.
What convinced you to do it this way, or what made you change it?
Good suggestions, good input from the guys around me. You know, Matt Capro, you know, just assessing how we've done things over the years. We keep track of everything we've ever done, and this is just a format that we've liked.
5-7 at home to close the season. It seems like, I've heard players talk about kind of the energy and the noise and everything just sort of being a different level this year. Have you noticed with the fans this year?
You know, starting with the opener, you know, the opener was, I think, kicked us into, you know, like full go. And fortunately, we, you know, got the win and all that. We're counting on everybody feeding. You know, we got to feed them, they got to feed us. And the 12s have been incredible, even when we've been on the road. And I hope that there's a lot of energy for this finish, because we certainly have it here in the building.
At this point, can be a boost for the rookie class. I mean, they've been going kind of nonstop since the draft process and everything. Get it at this point and kind of reset.
Yeah, I do think hopefully we can make it into that. We've talked that way with them. Just stepping away from it can give you a chance to see things a little bit differently, you know, a little more clearly. And I'm hoping that that's what takes place right now. But it's for them, I think it's really a convenient opportunity for them to just. Physically too, just because we've been pushing. Particularly, I keep thinking of the tackles because they played every snap, you know. And so we'll try to take advantage of this, and we got no excuses. This should work for us.
I know they're rookies, but would you consider like to ease the sort of physical toll on them, given like dialing back their practice late in the season?
No, not really. No, I don't think. No, we're taking care of our guys. This has been a really profitable year so to this point of managing the tempo and stuff like that, and we got to keep it going. They're okay. They're ready to go. I mean, if you could see them bouncing around now physically, these guys are all, you know, ready to go at it again. So I think we're in good shape.
Do you want to try to get Trey Brown on the field this week if you can? Or?
We're looking at him again this week, yeah, to see how he competes and all that and how he does. Yes. Yeah, the answer is yes to that. I don't know if it'll happen or not, but he's competing to show that he's, you know, ready to go. So he had a good week last week, and this from this point forward, he's physically and he's adapted back in, so he could go.
Do you still like him on the left side, or could he do either?
Just because that's where he spent most of his time, yeah. I don't want to do a lot of change-ups with him, you know, right now. I'd rather have him go where he's most comfortable. He's fine about playing on the other side, he says. But right now he's going to play on the left side for a while, see how it goes.
What kind of a challenge is, obviously, Devontae Adams, particularly for some of your
guys? I mean, every challenge that a guy could bring you. I mean, he's an incredible player. He's so gifted and such a great competitor that he seizes the moments all the time. You know, the catches, the opportunities, the big plays. I mean, just look what he did, you know, like last week. And it was just classic. And an incredible route that he ran and a concept to get open. But he just came through again, you know. And you can see why if he's on your team and then he leaves, you're going to have a space, you know, that's hard to fill. Because I think they've targeted him 40-something times in the last 3 weeks, you know. And so you know, he's deserving and capable. And whether you know he can tell you I'm running the route almost and it can still be effective. So he's a great player. He's the top guy we've seen.
Raiders are one of the teams that use a fullback more regularly than any other team. What does that do for their offense?
Well, it gives them a style. You know, Jacob Johnson's the guy, and he gives them a style that is reminiscent of, you know, two-back offense. You know, we don't see much two-back offense these days. And so they have those plays that come with a lead blocker and a kick-out blocker and a wham blocker. I mean, they've got it all. You know, he's got the right makeup mentality and all of that. So it just takes us back somewhat. We just don't see much of that.
That much? Is it because of the way offenses are schemed up or what defenses can do?
There's a couple of reasons, I think. That one of them is that people, offenses, coaches in general, are more attracted to spreading the field than drawing the field in to some degree. There's still offenses that still use a lot of short splits and things like that, but using the field more so is part of it. And then there aren't very many of them. You know, we'll go through the draft, and they're not being raised in the college game at all. So you're always having to transition guys, and so it's a little bit harder to figure out who is the guy that can do that. There'll be maybe two or three guys in the draft out of the entire draft class that will be fullbacks, you know, that are legit and can show you that they can do that. So it's a little bit of a, you know, I don't. It's a little bit harder to find these guys. So. But it's still a great offense. It's still a great concept. And there's all kinds of run and pass. It doesn't make you just a run team. You can do all kinds of stuff. The Niners have been doing it for years.
Derek Carr, obviously, big quarterback. He's been around for a minute. The challenges he presents for your defense.
Derek?
Yeah.
He can throw everything. He really can throw everything. He's had, you know, prolific years, one right after another. He's the real deal. All the downfield stuff, all the quick stuff, on the move. He's in the pocket, out of the pocket. It doesn't matter for him. Really accurate thrower, and he moves well too. He when he takes off, he's got enough jets there that he can make some yards and hurt you when he scrambles. So, but you can see him with the big time players that he throws to, that they can make things happen, and it doesn't have to be wide open. He can put the ball in really tight places and make plays. So. You don't really ever have him. You know, he can finish games and plays in a big-time way, and so he poses a big problem.
Ryan Neal's obviously stepped up and played well the last couple of years when Jamal's been hurt, but it seems like he's doing even more this year. Does this defense suit him even better, or is he just playing better?
Yeah, it does, you know, and really the
are leaning towards, you know, some more stuff that we've done with the safeties and the safety position part of, you know, Jamal being part of the thing, you know, the program and all that, has just opened up more opportunities. And, you know, you remember back when we first went with Ryan, it was a couple of years ago maybe, at the dime position, you know, and that we picked things up, we got a little bit better, and he helped us. Well, now that's just regular stuff for him to play, you know. So he's playing nickel and dime and base, and he can do a little bit of everything now. So versatility, his confidence, and just growing with experience. You know, he's a good football player.
Is there anybody that's on injured reserve, like Daryl or Alden Robinson or Isaiah Dunn, or any of those guys who might be back anytime soon? Or?
Well, Johnny Radigan's coming back today. He'll be back out practicing. We're really fired up that he's made it through his recovery and all that. This is his first day back, so we're kind of celebrating that, first of all. But there's a couple guys, there's possibilities, but nothing on the early, you know, quick horizon here. I don't know how to say that. Help me out.
What about Radigan? What about Radigan? Had you keep him after last year? I mean,
He's a really good football player. You know, he's just a good all-around ball player. You know, it might be his upbringing. You know, I don't know. You know, come, you know. Sure, that's why you asked. But, you know, he's instinctive. He's tough. He's a smart player. We've missed him in the depth, you know, at the linebacker spot. But really, he's made his mark in special teams, and we're really hoping to get him back out there.
Hey, speaking of fullbacks, is there anything you wouldn't trust Nick Ballore to do with this team?
No, Nick, you know, he goes both ways. He can do it. You know, he can. He's one of the last of the two-way performers, you know. He's really a smart football guy. Things make sense to him, and so he doesn't need a lot of turns to execute. And so we use him in some crucial situations, and he can, let's just say, Nick can do it all. Leave it at that.
Anything else?
Okay.
All right, and that was the latest from head coach Pete Carroll as the Seahawks prepare to take on the Raiders in their first week back from the bye. You've got the Raiders, you've got the Rams, back-to-back teams that have underperformed this year. The first in terms of record, though not talent. The second in terms of talent as well. The Rams have just been completely out of this one. They're gone. Finito.
They're
cooked.
Done. They're done. Poor Rams.
I say that now. I'm talking a lot of smack, but like, you really never know when it comes to the Rams. But I feel pretty good about the Seahawks' remaining schedule, at least to get things started out the gate from the bye week.
Yeah, I feel good about it. You're taking on the Las Vegas Raiders, who, you know, hear Pete talk. He's never going to disrespect an opponent. But no. You look at the next three. You got the Raiders, the Rams, and the Panthers, and you are feeling good about it. I was feeling good about the next four going into Germany. So if I learned anything, it's to never underestimate an opponent. And you need to be able to make adjustments. Like, mm-hmm. What type of adjustment is going to be made by the Seahawks going from what they learned in Germany to performing this week at home against these Las Vegas Raiders? I mentioned during four down territory, I expect the Raiders just to load the box and say, look, you had a hard time running the football. We're going to make it tough on you again and take a little bit of what the Buccaneers did to you. I also expect the Raiders to come out and try to run the football because the Hawks just allow the worst football team on the ground to go for $160. So there are some things that they can expect, and there are some things that I want to see adjustments to.
Really, the only big news piece to come from this one injury-wise is Trey Brown. We were all wondering if he would get some playing time after being activated. You didn't see a ton of them. Pete says that Brown is going to remain on the left side. They're hoping to get him on the field, but they don't know yet. They're not making promises if they'll actually do that. But the hope is that Trey Brown will be out there at left corner.
Starting. He ain't going to start. They better not put Trey Brown in front of Mike Jackson.
Why not?
Because Mike Jackson has earned it. Like, I want to see Trey Brown because you want to see what he can do. Because when he left, he was playing some good football. But, man, my guy Mike Jack has earned that spot. So let the young man earn it. If eventually it happens, then I get it. That's the business, right? Yeah. But, Mike Jack... 30, number 30. Hold that thing down, baby.
Now, I agree with you 1,000%. I am very curious to see, but I'm curious to see Trey Brown out there.
I'm curious, too. But let's put him on special teams. Let's get him in certain situations.
And he hasn't played for a year, essentially.
Essentially a year.
Yeah.
So you want to ease him into the situation either way it goes, but you do want to see what he brings to the table. I understand that, but don't just hand it to him.
No. So again, that's really the only big injury update. A lot of other stuff we'll kind of hear about during the week. Tomorrow we've got a special Wednesday edition of The Huddle where Geno Smith is going to speak with reporters. We're going to have players we're talking to, so we'll have some more information trickling in. But I think it's going to be one of those weird things where it's like, we kind of know who this team is.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know yet if they figured out or corrected anything during the bye week. You can't fix all of your warts and all your problems in 1 week. The best thing you can do is adapt and try to make your strengths better, right?
Yeah, and you can do all the fixing you can during the week. But when you strap them up, all right, how are those adjustments going to play out? Because, again, you're taking care of each other. You're not tackling your own teammates. You're pretty much playing against robots during the week because the scout teamers have a card that they run.
Yep.
They're not really reacting the way that you want to. One of my favorite things about football practice is, as they say, as a coordinator, I'm like, look, guys, when we come out in this 2x2 look on third down, this is the way the defense is going to line up. So you tell the practice squad or the scout team, look, all right, guys, this is what you want to line up. Hey, you react to this. I'm telling the safety.
Yeah.
All right, you corner, you fly back there. Like, I'm telling these guys what to do. Where in the game, you might get that look, but in practice, you're missing the human factor. The, okay, I'm just going to react to this play and fly downhill. So, yeah, you go in with a plan. These are the things that we're going to correct and get better at. But you never really know until you line it up what it's going to look like.
All right, we're going to have more of a preview of this game specifically tomorrow beginning at noon with The Huddle. Maura, you're still getting fantasy football questions in here, by the way. Bump and I are kind of jealous.
I was trying to go
Stacey
through the
press conference. Into the Maura fantasy football show. I'm okay with it, though. I'm cool with it.
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm good with it. I'm like looking at the notes like, okay, and then what else?
All right. Someone stumped me with Daniel Jones or Kirk Cousins. I was like, ooh, anyone else?
Cousins?
Just their Cousins. Matchups this week are not
great. Daniel Jones or Kirk Cousins.
You've got the team that just
I'd still go
beat
Cousins.
The crap out of Kirk Cousins facing right. Daniel Jones. Right. And then you've got Kirk Cousins facing the Patriots after he just got sacked by the Cowboys so much. And the Patriots
seven
are
times.
Very capable of doing that as well.
Yeah, they are. The receiving weapons that he has are more tempting
very
to me
true. Very
versus
true.
The lack, really, of receiving weapons, especially after trading Tony that the Giants have. The Kraken were kind enough to hook us up with a really awesome interview. We're going to have forward Jared McCann on at 1, about 20 minutes away from that. Before then, we're going to take a quick look around the NFL. Andy Reid, savage move. Savage move from Andy Reid. I'll tell you what he did next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right. We've still got some fun stuff coming your way. An interview we're really excited about. Hype Train coming your way at 1:30. More. Are you ready to play Hype Train in place of Curtis today?
Ooh, I'm excited.
Also, did we decide that you and Bump are going head-to-head in trivia tomorow for Raiders, Raiders, Raiders?
She's going to smack
me. Oh, we did not discuss this.
Oh,
she's going to
so
smack
excited.
Me.
I am so excited. We'll see if we can fit it into the show. We
I'm
have a
scared.
Packed show. I'm a little nervous about making sure we get to everything. But if we have time, I personally cannot wait to see Maura face off against Bump. Let's take a look around the NFL for NFL headlines. Jimmy G goes 20-29 for 228 and 4 touchdowns in the Niners' win over the Cardinals. George Kittle broke free for 2 big touchdowns, only catching 4 balls, but racking up 84 yards. Yards after catch is especially where this team excelled, looking very much like the cream of the crop in the NFC.
Yards after catch, that should be the hashtag whenever you talk about the Niners, because anybody can get it. George Kittle, we got Elijah Mitchell was healthy, Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk. Some fans on the Twitter line hate that we talk about the Niners, but they're in our division.
It's and you gotta
keep your enemies close, man.
Yeah.
Like, come on now, that's what we're doing. And Jimmy G had himself a day, 20-29, 228, like you mentioned. But that team is explosive.
I want to know which teams are playing well in the NFC, which teams you're battling for wild card spots, for divisional spots. You can't only talk about one team. You understand your teams more when you find out how other teams are performing as well.
Exactly.
Come on now. Andy Reid. Next story. Speaking of a team that's performing really well, the Chiefs. Andy Reid confirms the report that the Travis Kelce touchdown the Chiefs scored to beat the Chargers was the exact same play. This is savage. They used to defeat the Chargers in overtime at SoFi Stadium during Week 15 last year.
Peter King reported that that was the same play that you guys ran against them to win the game.
against the Chargers last year, too. Can you just go over that play call and kind of explain what happened there?
Yeah, I know Kelsey said that. It really was. It was the same play. I mean, it was doctored up a little bit with some with the motion, but but to answer your question, yeah, I mean, it was basically the same play.
Does that happen a lot?
Yeah.
Or is it like especially bold? Like, hey, we use this to beat you guys. We're just going to try it again.
Yeah, but you hear what he said. He dressed it up a bit more. Yeah. Some motion, some shifts. But it's savage to run it, and then it's savage to confirm. Like, yeah, same play. You know what I mean? We'll do it again. So now you get into that situation. The Chargers are going to be thinking about it. And then what do? You motion. You show them the same pre-snap look. And then you just mess with their minds and go completely different directions and mix it up a bit. That's how the game is played, man. Andy Reid, an OG in playing that game, too.
Bengals wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase is set to return to practice this week after missing three games with a hip injury. He's no longer using crutches, so that's good. And head coach Zach Taylor said everything has been as positive as they hoped it would be to this point. Where are the Bengals in terms of your AFC power rankings? I don't need to hear 1 through 10. What I need to hear is whether you think they can still get back into the postseason. Joe Burrow, low-key, has been racking up stats this year.
Yeah.
It's like he started out ugly, really, really ugly, and then has drastically improved as time's gone on.
They've been sneaky. And remember, this was the team where I was like, their window's done. There's no way they're going back to the Super Bowl. I don't think that's going down, but the way that Joe Burrow's playing, they got some hope. They got the Titans coming up next. Titans, another sneaky, tough team. You got the Chiefs, so the next two are going to be tough, and then you finish with the Browns, the Bucks, the Patriots, the Bills, the Ravens. They have a tough schedule in front of them. I think they can be competitive, but when you look at their division, that AFC North, Baltimore looks good to go. It's out of those two, Baltimore and Cincinnati, but it's going to be tough.
I'll say this. They are playing much better than the Super Bowl winners, who are pretty much out of this thing. That's not who I'm going to talk about, though, but I am going to talk about another sneaky team, this one in the NFC. The Washington Commanders are on a two-game win streak and just activated defensive end Chase Young, one of their very best players from the injured reserve. He tore his right ACL on November 14th last year, so a little over a year removed. He returns this time to face the Atlanta Falcons, that game this Sunday.
I'm looking at the schedule and I'm messed up right now.
Okay.
They got the Falcons at the Giants, bye week, play the Giants again. Have you ever seen that?
The Commanders do?
Yes, the Commanders do. The Washington Commanders. So play the Falcons.
Okay.
Then the Giants, 12-14. Unless ESPN got this site messed up.
Whoa.
And then 12-18, they play the Giants again. I don't think I've ever seen that. Is that a mistake?
No, they have like some weird, they have weird games going on. That's a late bye.
It's weird.
That's
and then
really
you
weird.
And then you go back into the Giants. So split these two and you'll see what happens when it comes to the Giants. I think they can beat the Falcons, but the Falcons are also one of those teams where you just don't know what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
You got Patterson.
Danny talked to us about that.
You got Patterson who just scored a kick return touchdown, something I feel like I haven't seen in a long time. Now he has the most returns for kick returns for touchdowns. They are just an unpredictable team, and those are the ones that scare me the most. But, Commanders got an interesting schedule coming up. They could win these next three.
Yeah, I don't like how many unpredictable teams are in the NFC. Like, if you were to, like, list chaotic teams, the NFC owns so many of them.
That's what they do.
Saints, Falcons, Lions, right? Commanders.
Yeah.
Just teams, nothing but chaos. You have no idea.
Tampa.
You have no idea if they are going to drop 40 points on someone or get shut out.
Yeah.
It could go either way. Whereas the Chiefs, I never think the Chiefs are going to get shut out.
Nah, it makes you nervous.
Yeah, it does. The NFLPA is filing a collusion claim over guaranteed contracts for quarterbacks. They're alleging, this is the players' union, alleging that teams agreed at an August 9th owners' meeting, those sneaky owners, not to make guaranteed contracts available to certain quarterbacks after the Browns gave Deshaun Watson his 5-year fully guaranteed deal. Since that deal, Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray have received contracts that were not fully guaranteed, and guaranteed money has been a sticking point for Lamar Jackson in trying to negotiate a new deal.
You know what I don't like about this story is that I don't put it past the owners doing this.
No. Nope.
You're talking about money, and yeah, they realize that Deshaun Watson deal, horrible look. So bad for the Cleveland Browns, so bad for the league, so bad for the owners. So if this story is true, I am not surprised. But why do these other dudes have to suffer because the Browns made a horrible decision? Let these dudes get their money. That's jacked up, if it's true.
And what's annoying is Deshaun Watson still got his money. So Deshaun Watson made out with his guaranteed money as a consequence, even though it shouldn't be because it's collusion. It should not be happening. But as a consequence of that, other people are not getting their money. So the guy that you made the rule for is fine.
You know what that's like? That's like when you're at practice and there's this one kid who is just not working hard.
Yeah.
And then coach goes, you know what? You come stand by me. Everyone else, you guys are running because he's not working hard.
And that kid doesn't care. The lesson is supposed to be that he feels bad that he's doing that too, and he recognizes he's hurting his team. Some of those kids don't care.
They don't care. So Deshaun Watson over there like, I got mine, fellas. I'll see y'all week 11. Is this week he's back?
Yeah, 12.
12 against the his old team,
yes,
right?
Yes, you know, in Houston.
Complete coincidence, by the way.
Yeah, total coincidence. You know that classic 11-game suspension? They do those sometimes. all right. He just scored his 100th goal on Saturday. He's currently leading the Seattle Kraken in goals, and he is joining us next. I won't tell you who it is just yet. Don't go anywhere. This is Bump and Stacey.